Het is de CEO-kast in samenwerking met de CEO-brein community. Ik ben Martijn Hoving.
Ik ben Dennis Zakkerman.
En ik ben Jeroen Stikkeloren. En tijdens Brighton SEO gaan wij erachter komen op basis van interviews met internationale en nationale sprekers waar de CEO-industrie naartoe beweegt. Leuk dat je luistert.
Veel plezier. Hi, Brighton SEO live in the afternoon with Dixon Jones.
How you doing?
Hi, welcome here in our podcast. So yeah, we always start with how did you end up in the SEO world?
I started in 1999 and actually I started before that. My first website was a murder mystery games website. I used to do write and run murder mystery evenings and I went to Yahoo as it was then and typed in murder mystery games and there was a big advert for Adidas, I think it was, or Nike or something like that at the top. And I thought, this is insane. The user wants murder mystery games and the advert is for Adidas. There's got to be a better way of making money on this internet thing. So I kind of got into it, you know, in about 97, 98. I set up my first agency in 1999. That's still going. It's nothing to do with me anymore, but still going. And then in 2007, 8, something like that, I got involved in Majestic. You guys know Majestic, right?
Yeah,
so, was the marketing director of that, helped build that up. About 6 years ago, I kind of stepped back a little bit from that and then teamed up with a guy called Fred Laurent, who's a French guy. He kind of emailed me out the blue saying, yeah, you look like you're at a loose end, Dixon. I need a business partner. P.S. Have you got some money to put into this business? You know, and we set up Inlinks, which is an entity-based SEO tool. And as I was doing, I was writing a book, Entity SEO, at the time. So it was kind of a pretty good fit.
It's a small one,
you bought,
right?
Yeah. It's very thin. Yeah.
Nice.
But all I was trying to do was get a knowledge graph record. So, you know, got to be an author. I was playing as I was learning. And so he contacted me. I had a phone call with him. He was in Nice in France. I flew over on EasyJet. We shook hands and made a deal. And Inlinks was born. That's been going for about 5 years, or pre-COVID anyway. And that built up pretty well. So that's looking at the internet around entities. And we have our own natural language processing algorithm that just takes any content and strips it out into underlying entities. And it's really good. Turns out that we can change this around and instead of it just looking at web pages, we can also analyze LLM output. So we've just literally last week, which is why we've changed our Inlinks stand. We paid for this stand here at the conference for Inlinks. We just rebranded it all Wayke. Wayke stands for what AI knows about you. It's impossible to spell. It's impossible to pronounce. But you're Dutch, you'll be all right. You'll get that.
Yeah, we get it.
And the idea is that it interrogates the LLMs, so Claude and ChatGPT and Gemini, and really analyzes the knowledge graph of topics that come spat out for you and your competition, and it compares it to the knowledge graph of your own website. And that gives you, I'm sorry for the people, people that have gone on camera, they can see me. It gives you two fingerprints and you can start seeing topic gaps. You could also start seeing fact checks. You know, you can start fact checking and seeing what hallucinations are coming up and tracking them and stuff like that. So that's my history of
and
my life.
Quite a journey.
It's just, you know, a long time. I'm 60 now. So, you know, I'm really hoping that I can just get through to the end with this technology without losing it. You know, that'll be fine, you know. And then I'll likely retire on a nice warm beach. That would be nice.
And then the Majestic time. I think a lot of SEO guys know you from that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Majestic took off so well.
Yeah. What was your approach to building? Yeah, you were in the marketing position, right?
So building the brand. I was a marketing director. So basically I had already been on the speaking circuit quite a bit. So I kind of leveraged that as best I could. So Majestic didn't do any PPC or virtually no PPC. It was literally, we've got something new. And it was before Ahrefs or SEMrush had backlink data. The only other player in town was Yahoo Site Explorer, which is a free tool, and Moz, right? And they just come out. Funny story, actually. I was friends with Rand anyway. And I was at a conference in Iceland and Rand and Geraldine, his now wife, were there. And I knew that I was going to be started with Majestic. And I knew that Moz was coming out with this backlink thing. And he invited me to his wedding. And I thought, I cannot, because I know I'm not allowed to talk about Majestic yet, but I know I'm going to be in competition with you. So I'm going to have to politely decline. It was also on the other side of the world, so not a cheap wedding for me to get to. So I didn't know. The next time I saw Rand, I didn't know if he was going to hit me or hug me. And it turned out that the next time I met him was at another wedding. So he hugged me, so it's all right.
Okay.
So
so
you're cool.
I mean, you can't, you know, Rand is such a nice guy. You can't really. He doesn't seem to hate anybody.
And the tool itself at that time was better than Moss in terms of data.
I think it's fair to say. I think he'd also agree. Our link data. I mean, because Moss was trying to be a full service, you know, like a platform, and we just focused on links, and Majestic is still just focused on links, and I think that gave us a real focus, basically. So I knew what I was selling, I knew what I was talking about. So much data, because I mean, it crawls the internet. It's still one of the top 10 crawlers in the world today, you know. And it's a massive crawl. So the amount of data I had was great for doing panels on conferences and that sort of thing. And I got invited to pretty much everything, which was really nice. So those are good times. So the conference circuit has been very good for me, and I used it the same for Inlinks and basically using your network really as best I can. I'm now learning that LinkedIn is a lot more powerful than I thought it was. You know, I've now learned that I can, you know, that people will listen to me when I message them on LinkedIn, and I've got a reasonably large and really focused following. I mean, basically anybody that doesn't do SEO is not following me on LinkedIn, So when I say something, I've got a very narrow audience, and that suits me. You know, I'm not trying to convince people to buy shoes or whatever it may be.
The Majestic time, you came up with the idea of entity tracking, or?
My entity world came up as I was talking about SEO during the Majestic time, but Majestic has nothing about it. It has topics, but it was done in a different way. When MetaWeb was bought by Google, Freebase, I knew that there was something going to change. And I spent a lot of time sitting down with Bill Slowski and people like that at PubCons in Austin. In Vegas, you know, saying, wait, what are they doing with this stuff? And trying to figure it out, and, you know, starting to do talks about the knowledge graph or their knowledge graph and stuff like that. And it was clear around 2017, 18, that there was this fight in Google between, you know, the old PageRank, Ngram kind of approach in the SERPs and this entity-based approach in the SERPs. But the thing that convinced me is when I started to do the maths. And if you try and organize the world's information by web pages, firstly, most of them say the same thing. How many pages are there on how to tie a bow tie? It's still the same way of tying a bow tie. Whereas the number of ideas in the world, topics, entities, things that you talk about in encyclopedias and stuff, is finite. It's much, much lower. So the number of pages in the world was growing really, really fast. The number of ideas in the world was not. It was static. So it seemed logical to me that ultimately a company like Google had got to a point where it had to change its way of storing information, it had to store it by idea instead of by page. And starting to understand that, I kind of wrote Entity SEO, really trying to get all the stuff out into my world. And it's not the best writing in the world, but I think you can guarantee it's not AI written, you know. This is something that came out of my, you know, my heart, my head, you know, and then, as you know, that and the talking is when Fred and I'd taken a step back from Majestic, and then when Fred contacted me, he had already built this knowledge graph. He'd been thinking about knowledge graphs in a completely different way. He wasn't thinking about the Google knowledge graph. He had built his own knowledge graph. So it's not the same as building a backlink database of every site in the world, but it's still a pretty significant thing where he could read any text and turn it into the underlying entities. And that meant we could effectively turn any web page into a bunch of numbers, basically.
He could have built his own search engine then.
But I think the horse is bolted on that one. I remember trying to persuade Majestic to start, you know, a search engine there. Anyway, they didn't go for that, probably for best reasons, but anyway, they don't listen to the marketing man when it comes to that kind of thing, you know.
So can you tell a bit more about your new tool company?
Okay, yes, as long as you tell me off if I start selling it. Okay,
we will definitely
so it's, as I say, it stands for What AI Knows About You, and we've taken the Inlinks technology of turning everything into entities. So what it will do, you start with, by the way, Gert, one of our first 20 customers, so you know, so the Dutch got involved because it works in Dutch already. So that's pretty cool. We got 10 languages.
This is almost selling now.
Oh, no. Fine. Anyway, so what it does, you take a website or a brand and its website and two competitors, and it will go and read your website and build a knowledge graph of that concept. And then it'll ask all the LLMs, what do you know about insert website here? And then you ask it in the context of this product over here. So now you're getting a bunch of words coming out from the LLMs, which most of the other tools we've seen were trying to track they were trying to say, well, how many times are people talking about product A or product B or whatever? And that's just impossible to do in an LLM situation. But understanding the underlying concepts, it seems we can get some trends. We can say the neural network of an LLM, let's say it's you're asking about office chairs, then the LLM might start by saying, okay, I'm going to think about the prices of office chairs, or it might start by saying, I'm going to start talking about the ergonomics of office chairs, or I'm going to start thinking about the manufacturer of office chairs, for example. Very different places to start, all valid for any thought process, a human or whatever. And then it goes to the next level and say, well, what do I need to look up about that? What do I need to do that? And that means I need to talk about, you know, fabric over here or back pain over here or whatever it may be. So then all these topics start getting represented in the various outputs that come out. And by tying those down to the underlying thing, like orthopedics or fabric or whatever, we can start to pinpoint the topics that we think that brand should be talking about to interrupt that flow and get noticed in that flow. So it's about what AI knows about you, for sure, but what we're trying to do is work out their thought processes typically, and then work out how you can create content that fills that gap.
So it's a content gap deluxe.
In part, it's a content gap analysis tool, and another part is a fact checking tool, because some of the hallucinations that are coming out from the LLMs are terrible. And I can't imagine that there isn't going to be a big industry out there for finding out when the LLMs hallucinate. It's going to be really important for brands to know if the LLM has picked up some bad review or some lie over on some place somewhere, fed it into the system, it's caught a little following or whatever, and it's something comes out and it says something completely wrong about your brand. And we're finding that it's happening more with brands that have a generic name. Yeah. So Majestic is much more likely to have a hallucination than Semrush, for example, because Semrush is a unique word, you know, and
Majestic can, could be a, mean a lot of things.
Loads of different things. And so it's going to be important for those brands to keep on track of it, and not really that expensive to do, but it needs to be organized somewhere, you know, whether you use Wake or use something else, but you need to organize that information, because it comes out very sporadic. It needs to have some kind of methodology. You need to check it every week, just store that information so you can come back to it. So there's going to be a market for that, we think, or we betted on it, you know. So we didn't want to bundle it in with InLinks, because then it's an SEO tool, and I think this is good for PR people, I think this is good for analysts and a much broader range of people, as long as we keep it simple enough, you know. So we've tried to come out with a simple approach, because I've learned that you make it too complicated, people don't like
it's
it.
not easy enough.
So we talked a lot today with all our guests, basically, how can we optimize for the LLMs, and what are the findings.
You have to first analyze the situation for sure, and right up until there are other tools. So it's Otterly AI, there's Sky.air, Dev, and stuff like that, and TriProfound, I think, you know. So those ones, we've been benchmarking what we're doing against what they're doing, and there's AI rank, Dejan Petrovic AI rank,
rank skill, and those kind of stuff. So
there's a bunch of things out there, but I think that they the trick is to understand what topics you need to cover to interrupt that neural network flow. And that's not as easy to get unless you've got some kind of methodology for organizing words into and putting them into some kind of structure. And entities turns out to be a really good structure for that. Yeah. So, but anyway, I think the two jobs are, you've got to be, it'd be great if you're in the training data. That's great. But that updates really slowly. But you can find stuff out there by looking at what is already cited in the training, in the outputs. So whenever they give a link, check it. You know, is it something that you can get into? Some of these links that they're spouting are rubbish. They're this sort of SEO 2020, you know, 2004. And you know, listicles and stuff like that. But the LLM doesn't seem to care about quality. It just cares about, you know,
they
words.
Do not know the concept of authority or something.
Not yet. They're going to have to. Yeah. And I think that's why they're having to use RAG to augment it. Because without RAG, you know, firstly, things change. You know, if they're using training data from 2022, figuring out who the President of the United States is not going to work. You know, they've got to use more up-to-date sources.
Do you see positive results where, for example, companies with your tooling, they can see, okay, there's a gap here, they start filling the gap?
Wake's only been live for 3 weeks, so okay, I'm not going to pretend that we know what's happening.
That's a bit short.
You've got to first provide the tools to show people what, you know, and then the theories of, you know, okay, we've got this theory about filling in the top topics. And we've got this theory about checking the links, the links that are spouted out. Those are two good things. And fact check. So we've got three things we can do at the moment, all of which seem really sensible and logical. There's probably a have two H1 gaps. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else there may be, but I don't want to start shouting about these are the things that are going to suddenly get you in area when it's just going to be a lie. So, yeah. So ask me again in 6 months.
It has to become more clear then.
And now you've got other companies as well, you know, collecting this information. We're going to, as a community, start dreaming up ways to influence the AI in the same way that we influence human beings in PR.
But you are in the SEO community quite a long time, right?
Is it
comparable with the beginning of understanding this Google's algorithm?
This feels quite like the early days of the SEO world. Yeah, absolutely. So I loved it. I remember going to a early days of the internet, and there was a thing called Venture Thursdays or something. It wasn't called that, but anyway, Thursdays, and it was basically VCs and press and people that are trying to start up businesses going to this thing. They just grew and exploded into this massive, great, big organization. And Bob Geldof was the speaker this day, and he's had a company called Deckchairs, a travel company. Anyway, and it's just massive heaps. And he got up on stage late. We're all knackered, and he said, "All I see is a sea of greed." And it just came across the room, you know. Yes, probably true.
That's what's happening right now.
That was before the dot-com crash. And then the early days of SEO where he got serious. I set up Reception in 1999, and basically we used Web Position Gold, which was the software to use at the time. And it was great. It did a pretty good job. Then when Google started getting clever, it became a bit of a shame, because, you know, AltaVista was a great one, you know, Excite, and all those other search engines just died off.
Yeah.
And now you're doing optimization for one book, just for one person. So what I like about this is there's all these, you know, Llama and, you know, DeepSeek.
How many LLMs do you track?
We track five, but there's plenty more out there. But I think we got the five major ones, really. But, you know, somebody else will come out and track 24 LLMs. And I remember the rank checkers of the early years doing that, you know, just rank checking on Sunday 5, Sunday 10, Sunday 50, you know. And the ones that survived were things like...
What you just said was that every result is personalized, right? That's
In AI?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think... Well, in AI it is. So you have to track in a different way. You've got to think in a different way. But it does. It feels just like the early days. The Wild West of... and as I say, I've got to the age now. I've just got to get clever enough to read and write this back. One more bandwagon and I'll be okay.
Okay. Thanks, Lord. Yeah, we're already at the end of this podcast, but we always have one last question.
Okay.
In your whole career, what has been your biggest SEO fuck-up? But it can also be an AI fuck-up.
Not so much a fuck-up, but last week, it's not the biggest, but anyway, we'll go for this one last week. So I asked our own machine, what does do the LLMs know about Wake 8? And Wake 8 had only been alive for 3 days, so of course it knew fuck-all. Oh, excuse my language. Sorry.
Nothing at all. On this podcast.
Yes. So it knew nothing. Yeah. So it should have just come back and said, I don't know what that is. No, it came back and I said, what does it know in the context of AI, I think? And it came back and said, AI, what's that? Ah, Gemini. Okay, Gemini, it's all this. So it said, as of 2024, i.e. before Wake 8 even existed, I know that AI, Wake 8 is about AI that was about Gemini. Wake 8 created Gemini. So what the hell? It just hallucinated to a point that it came up with a complete fabrication of the truth. I didn't mind, but I'll say it was a fuck up. You know,
good one. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, thanks guys. For being
thanks a
great story, and good luck with building out your.
Thank you very much. Bye, guys.